fight, and just wanted to make one or two points beforehand. One is that this is, of course, the anniversary of the Lal Shishi Torah Way Learning Program, and it's a tremendous schus to be able to be here, therefore, for all of us tonight, in this Chosh of Akela Netzach Yisrael, this base of Medrash, from which the Lal Shishi program, this tremendous program has been launched. And also want to mention the Shvach apart from Rav David Tugendhav has also been behind all of this, and Arbat Tastor has come from it, but also Dudi Itzkovitz, who's an Askin behind the whole Torah Way, and especially also because he's played a tremendous role in this Shabbat UK project, in bringing it not only to a tremendous project and getting people involved who don't normally keep Shabbos, but making sure that also in Haim Shoylem there's things that we can also be involved in and bring about a tremendous Hisoros, and whether it's special Shalosh programs, things taking place here, and learning programs in many other kehillas, and all of that is also thanks to him. I want to say, by way of introducing the Chief Rabbi as well, what a privilege it is to have this Shabbos as we prepare for a situation where in British Jewry there is going to be a tremendous amount of engagement and Shmir Shabbos like there hasn't been for Doris. Just, I've had the schus to also be involved in the project, and the things that have happened in the last few days, which we're hearing all over, kehillas that are Baruch Hashem, completely packed out in everything that's going to be happening, whether it's round the corner in Hampstead Garden suburb, where they thought for lunch they'll have 30 host families, because people in the kehilla will need a place to go, and it ended up needing 70 host families, as 1,000 people want to be there for Shabbos lunch and keep on into the day. And that's happening up and down the country in places you hardly even hear that there's anything. You don't even thought there's anything there, like in Portsmouth, where there's somebody who goes down and visits the kehillah every so often. So they said, can we do a Shabbat UK program? He said, only if you're going to agree that we're going to have real Shabbos. So a whole bunch of the kehillah said, fine, we're going to move into a hotel, we're not driving, we're with. And they've got a whole, everywhere you turn, Baruch Hashem, it's a tremendous thing that's happening across British Jewry. And also in parallel to events happening all over the world, as kehillahs everywhere are taking on this tremendous thing. So it's a chus to introduce the Chief Rabbi, who, when people were skeptical about this project, stood up and led it. And Baruch Hashem, we're here, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, waiting for this thing to happen.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Rowe, for your words of introduction. Yisher koach to you for directing our steering committee and for being responsible for the incredible success that Shabbat UK Mitzvah Hashem will be. Dein Lichtenstein, Marad Atra, Rabbanim Nichvadim. It's such a pleasure for me to be here this evening and to share some thoughts of Torah with you. And now that I'm living in Hendon, I am just so appreciative of what an incredible community exists here in this suburb of London, and in particular, it is just pulsating with Shmirat Mitzvot and Talmud Torah at a very exciting level. With regard to Shabbat, the Chatam Sofer asks the following question. The Pasuk says, V'shamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-Shabbat, la'asot et ha-Shabbat l'doratam berit olam. He says, what does Shmirat Shabbat mean? To be Shomer Shabbat. It cannot mean to observe the laws of Shabbat. Because the Pasuk says, La'asot et ha-Shabbat l'doratam. To be Oseh Shabbat, to make Shabbos, must mean to carry out the laws of Shabbat. Consequently, what does it mean when we say, V'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-Shabbat? Says the Chatam Sofer, to be Shomer Shabbat means to look forward to Shabbat. He says that from Sunday to Friday, we have the potential to bring Shomrei Shabbat. On Shabbat itself, we have the potential to be an Oseh Shabbat. Now, where does the Chatam Sofer get it from? He says it gets him from Sefer Breshit. Yosef dreamt his dreams. He revealed the dreams to his family. Vayikan uvo echav ve'aviv shamar et adavar. His brothers were envious of him. They were jealous of him. But his father was shomer the matter. Meaning that Yaakov Avinu intuitively knew that what was being said here was an element of nevuah. It is for this reason he could never come to terms with the total absence of his son Yosef in this world, because deep down he was looking forward to the fulfillment of what he had heard. Ve'aviv shamar et adavar. Therefore, says the Chatam Sofer, to be shomer something means to be keenly looking forward with anticipation to its arrival. As a result, therefore, we are Shomrei Shabbat from Sunday to Friday. And actually, this is reflected in the names that we give to the days of the week. Hebrew is the only language in the world within which the days of the week do not have an identity of their own. It's Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi. Because where I am within the week is influenced by proximity to or distance from Shabbat. I'm traveling during the week as a Shomer Shabbat, anticipating the arrival of Shabbat. When Yaakov Avinu wanted to bless his grandsons Ephraim and Menashe, and he recited Hamalacha Goel Oti, the ikar of his bracha was V'yidgu larov bekerev ha'aretz, through which he wanted them, and through them all subsequent generations, to know that if we are going to succeed against the current to preserve our Yiddishkeit, then we would need to have the capacity to be like fish, V'yidgu larov, and to multiply in abundance within the midst of this earth. Yaakov Avinu, therefore, was saying to us, we need to find the capacity to be like fish. But what did he mean? Various Pirushim are given. One Midrash is as follows. Imagine the scene, says the Midrash. It's a rainy day, and you're looking at the waters of a river. And suddenly a fish will poke its head out of the waters, open its mouth, to take in the fresh drops of water that are coming from the skies. Isn't this remarkable? The natural habitat of the fish is water. Wherever it goes, its water is available. Now there are fresh drops coming from the heavens. It opens its mouth as if it has never seen water before, says the Midrash. Therefore, Yaakov Avinu was telling us that when it comes to Shmirat Mitzvot, they should never become mechanical. We should never observe them out of hergel. Rather, there should always be enthusiasm, a thirst for it. As we approach each mitzvah, it must be as if it's the first time we're going to perform it. Even if one has kept hundreds of Shabbos in one's life, when one's coming up to the next Shabbos, one must approach it as if it's the first Shabbos in one's life. So excited we should be with the opportunity to observe Shabbat. And this is exactly what the Chatam Sofer was referring to through being Shomrei Shabbat, having that anticipation to celebrate the arrival of Shabbat. Baruch Hashem, I would say close to the majority, if not more, of Jews in Britain have been Shomrei Shabbat with regard to this Shabbos, which is now on our doorstep. We've calculated that well over 100,000 people will be fully engaged with this Shabbat. There's been an element of Shmirat Shabbat, the thrill of looking forward to this occasion. Months back, April, May, June, we were saying 24th and 25th of October, Parshat Noach, you know, as a kind of mantra, we're looking forward to it. Months, then weeks. Now we're within a day of its arrival. The sense of thrill that has spread throughout all communities in the country. I have sensed it. I traveled up north just 2 weeks ago to speak about Shabbat UK. And I was just hearing the most marvelous stories. And as Rabbi Roh was saying, what's reaching us now is there is hardly a shul staging a major dinner, either Friday night or Shabbos lunch or both, which is not sold out with a long waiting list. The stories are endless. And some of the shuls are the most unlikely places where they would recognize the beauty and magical qualities of Shabbat Kodesh. And together with that, we're having major learning presentations, Hachnasat Orchim, on a massive scale, with thousands of people opening their homes to friends, and Yimitzeh Hashem, newfound friends, and also Havdalah ceremonies at the conclusion of Shabbat. But we already started this evening. I've come now from the great Chalomek at Alliance Park, over 3,000 people. Just imagine it. I suppose the best way for you to imagine it, if you haven't been in Alliance Park, is it's a hall that runs through a grandstand at the Saracens rugby stadium. So right the length of a rugby pitch, you've got five long tables all the way running down within this narrow long hall. And that wasn't enough for us, so we put up a marquee to run again more than half the distance of that. So 1.5 times the length of a rugby pitch, five long tables, it was just the most incredible sight to behold, the sense of thrill and excitement. And Baruch Hashem, the majority of people are people for whom Thursday night means, well, it's the night after Wednesday night, it's got no connection with Shabbat. But Baruch Hashem, this week round, everybody's focusing on Shabbat. And for us, the objective is not just the Shabbos. For me, it's what goes on beyond Shabbos. What's going to happen the Shabbos after and the Shabbos after that? And there is every indication that the Shmirat Shabbat with regard to this Shabbos, Yimitzeh Hashem, will be continued in the weeks, the months, and the years to come. And through appreciating the beauty of Shabbat, people will arrive at an appreciation of the depth of the meaning of Yahadut and Torah and Mitzvot within the 21st century. I'm reminded of the Gemara in Masechet Megillah, Daf Kaf Daled Amud Aleph. Rabbi Yossi there says, Kol Yamai Hayiti Mitzta'er Al Mikra Zeh. Throughout my life, I was troubled by one pasuk. Can you imagine the gadol that he was? He was troubled by only one pasuk. Now that must be a really difficult pasuk to understand. All the other pasukim were clear to him. So what was that pasuk? It's a pasuk from the Tochacha. Parshat Ki Tavo Vayita Memashesh Batzahoraim Kasher Yimashesh HaYiver Bafela. Things will become so desperate for Am Yisrael, we will lose our way to the extent that, says the pasuk, and you will grope around in the middle of the day like a blind man gropes around in the middle of the night. So Rabbi Yossi asked, V'chimai Echbet Li Le'iver Benafela Le'ora. What difference does it make to a blind person between day and night? Because unfortunately for him, he is blind 24/7. Achebama Seliadi, until he said, something happened. What happened? Pamachat Hayiti Ma'alech B'ishon Laila Vafela. One night it was the middle of the night and I was walking around and it was absolutely dark. Veraiti Suma Shayamahalech Vavuka Beyato. And I saw a blind man coming towards me with a lantern in his hand. So he's describing how there was a light coming towards him. It was getting bigger and bigger. And as it was just about to come to him, he saw this amazing sight of a blind man holding out a lantern and walking along. Amarti lo. So I said to him, said Rabbi Yossi, Bini avuka zolamalach. My son, why do you need this lantern? Is this some kind of a joke? Of what benefit is it to you? Amarli, and he replied to me, and he said, Kol zman shebnei adam ro'inoti, metzilinoti min hapchatin o min habarkani. This lantern is not for me. This lantern is for other people to see me. And as long as they can see me, they can protect me. If they see that I'm just about to fall into a pit or trip over a branch, they will save me from it. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi is saying, the pshat in the pasuk is, we will lose our way to the extent, that we'll be like a blind man, groping around in the middle of the day. Sorry, we'll be groping around the middle of the day like a blind man in the middle of the night without avuka biyado, without a lantern in his hand. Meaning that there's no hope whatsoever. He's lost his way. Other people can't see him. There is no hope. That will be the extent to which Am Yisrael, Chas V'Shalom, will be lost. Rabotai, we're living in an age in which there are many of our fellow Jews who are walking around quite distanced from Torah and Mitzvot, v'avuka biyado. They're holding a lantern in their hand. They're waiting for us to come and to stop them falling into the pits of assimilation, tripping over all the pitfalls that will take them further away from their Jewish roots. And we have a responsibility to guide them, because deep down, they want to return. They want a connection. And this is the story of this coming Shabbat. There will be thousands of people over this Shabbat in Great Britain who, for the first time in their lives, will be keeping Shabbos totally from beginning to end. There'll be tens of thousands who will be connected with their kehilot in a way that they haven't been before. And I would like to dwell, in conclusion, my final point to you relates to the name given in our parshav, Parshat Noach, to the raven. Interestingly, orev and raven, you can see how the English is derived from the Hebrew. But what's the derivation of orev, the raven? Why dafka this term given to it? And some of our mefarshim say it comes from the root erev. Because if you look at the browny black appearance of the raven, it looks like evening time. It's not totally dark, not totally black, as is the case of Laila. It's quite distant from daytime. It's got a kind of a mixture. And indeed, erev, orev, comes the root me'urav, to be part of a mixture. And we've just emerged from the festival of Sukkot, within which one of the Arba Minim was the Arava. And the Arava has the quality of achieving excellence within a mixture. Because with all the Divrei Torah that we're familiar with regard to the Arba Minim, the Arava appears to be the Nebuch of the four. It's the one that doesn't sparkle in all the Mishalim relating to it. And yet, the Mishnah Masechet Sukkah, Perek Dalet Mishnah Hei, tells us about Mitzvat Arava, the Mitzvah of the Arava. There is none of the other Minim which has a Mitzvah Bifnei Atzma. But the Arava has a Mitzvah, which was a Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, which in Temple times was carried out with the impact of a Mitzvah Doraita. And what was the Mitzvat Arava? So we're told how people would go from Yerushalayim and they would go and collect aravot. They would bring them and adorn the Mizbeach with them. And then on every day of Sukkot, they would encircle the Mizbeach. Ana Hashem Hoshiana, Ana Hashem Hoshiana, according to Rabbi Yehuda, they would add Aniva Ho Hoshiana. This, of course, is the source of Al Hoshanot. And on the seventh day, they would go around seven times. And according to the Yerushalmi, it's in order to evoke memories of the city of Yericho and the Yeshua of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which came to us. And now at a time when we're calling out for Yeshua Hashem, Ana Hashem Hoshiana, we're doing as we did in Yericho. But I'm mentioning this to you because of the parting words that the Mishnah says. Upon leaving the Mizbeach on Hoshana Rabbah, the people were encouraged to turn to the Mizbeach and to say, Yofi Lecha Mizbeach, Yofi Lecha Mizbeach. How beautiful you look, Mizbeach. How beautiful you look, Mizbeach. Why was the Mizbeach beautiful? Because it had Aravot on it. Aravot? I would have thought maybe the Hadas should have added beauty. All the Etrogim that you didn't need, pile up Etrogim, whatever it might be. But through the Arava, you have Yofi. But you see what happens is, the Chazal refer with the verb to our taking of the Arba Minim, they say Ogdin. We bind them together. The term Ogdin comes from Eged, which means to bring together disparate groups in order to produce one fused element. May all of Am Yisrael achieve one aguda, one bonded element, by all of us coming together. And that's why the term aguda means a federation. It's taking a number of communities and bring them into one. We're all familiar with the term Eged, because originally there were a number of bus companies. They formed a cooperative, and that is Eged, fusing them all into one. And that's what happens during Sukkot. The Arava by itself is a Nebuch. It doesn't sparkle. But once it's part of the Arba Minim, it brings the best out of it. And it achieves a level of attainment it otherwise would not have reached. And therefore the Arava of all the Minim is one which evokes that concept of Yofi Lecha. This is something which is beautiful. This is something which is amazing. This is the power of community. Within Kehilot, when we come to daven together, within the Tzibur, we can attain a level of Kavana you can never attain by yourself as a Yachid. Because once you are Mu'urav, you're mixed in with a Kehilah, it brings the best out of you. So often people's involvement in a community enables them to be a chairman, a gabbai, a head of a ladies' committee, to take on certain roles, and it brings out abilities and talents you would never, they themselves would never have believed that they've got, because the kehillah, that cohesive, united element, brings the best out of them. And the most significant usage of the concept of arava, me'urav, orev, comes in the teaching of Chazal, that we should be arivim zelazeh. Kol Yisrael arevim zelazeh. Every Jewish person is responsible for one another. If another version is arevim ze bazeh, and there is a difference, because arevim zelazeh means we're responsible to others. Arevim ze bazeh is like a pot with food in it. Individual ingredients come in with their own identity. Once they're part of the mixture, it becomes a new entity. And that's what we are within Klal Yisrael. We are our own people, own individuals, and at the same time we're part of Klal Yisrael. But I believe very strongly, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Lazeh, to be like the Orev, to be at Erev time, which is a mixture of day and night, to be like the Arava, we need to connect with all our fellow Jews, those who are handing out, holding out their lanterns, crying without sometimes even knowing it for direction and spiritual help. And Baruch Hashem, this is exactly what we are seeing over this forthcoming Shabbat. And for me, one of the most powerful elements of Shabbat UK is the extent to which every community is involved, right across the spectrum. And how so many of you are opening your homes, and so many kehilot right throughout the country are powerfully connecting with our fellow Jews, as a result of which, Yemitzeh Hashem, this Shabbat historically will be seen as a turning point for the Anglo-Jewish community, one which provides us with added injection. And what I said at the Chalavek this evening was that as from tonight, over this coming weekend, we are putting yeast into our Yiddishkeit. We are facilitating the Jewish observance and commitment to rise and to rise. Baruch Hashem shechiyanu v'kiyamanu v'kiyanu lazman hazeh, that we can see such a phenomenon. It's only happening because of what Klal Yisrael is doing. Those who are giving, those who are receiving, as a result of which, Yemitzeh Hashem, we will be able to capitalize on what's taking place this Shabbat, in order that indeed Klal Yisrael within this country will move significantly forward, and as a result, we will see far higher levels of commitment to Torah learning and Torah observance. Thank you so much for being part of the story. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu bless us all. Amen.